Well, the title is It Is Heavy. And it comes from a song that I heard, and many of you I'm sure heard, in the 60s called He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And I brought my iPod and I brought my Bose speakers to play it for you today. And I didn't bring the power cord. So, you know, it's kind of like the Christian Scientist whose faith was so great he had an electric blanket without a cord. I am stuck now reciting this and trying not to sing it for reasons that, if I do try, would become immediately clear. The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry too. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there, for I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on our way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. So on we go. When I heard this as a young man, it seemed completely true and something that I thought was really possible to have that attitude. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. The weight of the world is not heavy. It is joyous to be engaged with the world. And whether through simply age or wisdom, and sometimes it's hard to tell, the denial system being great enough to sometimes make age seem like wisdom, there are times when he's heavy, she's heavy, it's heavy, life is heavy, and I feel at times like Atlas carrying the weight of the globe on my shoulder, as I know from intimate conversations in and around the conversation, congregation, all of us do from time to time. The weight of the world, of the pain out there, and the pain in here, and the pain in here, can be overwhelming and can seem to be crushing. I am weighed down from time to time. But that's okay. That's, in a sense, important. Because if we wander through the world believing that the issues are either ephemeral because everything's going to be perfect in paradise, or the issues will be taken care of by someone else, if we don't feel the weight of the world, we are either disconnected from others in the world, we have fled into some place in our minds or medicated ourselves against the reality of the human pain out there and our opportunities for engaging it and what it means to us when we engage the world. There are times when the burdens would stop me from moving, and other times when those burdens are opportunities that raise, that inspire, that call to us not to flee, but to engage the world and to work at fixing it. And both of those impulses, I think, are real. I think that they are necessary, and I don't think that we can have one without the other. This is the yin and the yang, the balance that we seek in our lives, recognizing the weight of the burdens, recognizing the reality of the world, of what is going on out there as well as in here, and accepting that sometimes we will go, I can't wait to fix it. Another time saying, it's broken again? Both of those things are parts of our lives when we contemplate them. it's hard at times not to feel a victim of the world and of time, whether they're medical issues that we go through personally, life issues, life-threatening issues, the great political and social worlds out there, the policies that and problems that don't seem to be remediated despite our best efforts. And it's easy to feel like a simple victim, an isolated individual, a mote of dust being blown about in the winds of the universe that doesn't care a whit about us. Well, I don't know whether the universe cares a whit about us or not. I do at times feel like a dust mote, but I take joy, consolation, and in the company of other dust motes. I do understand that there are forces in the world that we cannot fight, but we can cope with and find our way, sometimes, not always, through. When Helene and I were in Mexico last month, we visited a hotel that we weren't staying at, and we were told the next day that at the time of our visit, someone had drowned in the ocean. They had gone in a relatively steep beach, had been swept out to sea, and deposited 20 minutes later back on the beach, but dead. I was really mad. Mad not for the usual American reasons. There were no posted warnings. There was no opportunity to sue anybody. I was mad because this person who I was told was a good and a strong swimmer didn't have to drown. One of the things, and this is not a swimming lesson, this is a metaphor, one of the things about human beings is we're not as strong or as big as the ocean. And when the tide wants to take you someplace, you've got two choices, going with it or being dragged along to the point of exhaustion and then drowning. The very same tide that took him out and brought him back in would have brought him back in alive if he had surrendered to the flow, if he had known what to do and not panic. Didn't make him the equal of the tide, but the fact that we have intelligence, that we can learn from one another, the fact that had there been a lifeguard, a competent lifeguard could have saved him, all of those facts come together to try to teach us about how to deal with the tides of life, with the tides of personal fortune and personal misfortune, how it is that we can fight them and be dragged under in despair and emotional exhaustion, or surrender to them for a time and learn how to stay afloat and swim parallel until the tide turns and brings us in. You see this in religion. You see it in politics. You see a defeated party, some of the members saying, that's it, I'm never going to have anything to do with politics again because it's live or die. You see it in religion. Somebody who's very religious in a normal non-Unitarian Orthodox sense and then has a terrible tragedy happen to them and their family, and it's all lost because the structure is win or lose. You fight and you win. There doesn't seem to be the idea that you can float, that you can surrender for a time and then re-engage and use your options and use your intelligence. The ocean is stronger than any of us will ever be. The ocean is stronger than we are in a small sailboat or even in a great ocean liner. But we, through intelligence and science and learning and experiments, create sailboats with rudders where we can work with and even against the tides to some extent. We have large ships that ply the seas that are not immune from disaster, but are willingness to create and to cooperate, we can row against the tides. We can sail against the tides. We can motor against the tides. Sometimes, not all the time. Much of what happens in our lives is attitudinal. Do we see it as being swept out to sea, or do we see it as an adventure? Much of it is attitudinal, not all of it. I remember many, many years ago as a 12-year-old visiting the Deep South for the first time and seeing colored drinking fountains and being very disappointed that colored water didn't come out of colored drinking fountains, because I didn't understand until it was explained to me what that meant. And then I saw colored waiting rooms that were these little waiting rooms next to the big waiting rooms at the bus stations and the train stations. When I was back in the South 30 years later, those segregated waiting rooms were still there and were still segregated, but they were segregated by money, not by race. The second-class status waiting rooms had become first-class waiting rooms. The objective reality of those waiting rooms was exactly the same. They were the same space, the same accommodations, but all the difference in the world, because the attitude was people fighting to get in, not fighting to get out. That it wasn't based on anything that is seemingly so intrinsic as race, but only, this being America, on wealth, which is extrinsic and ephemeral, usually lasting no more than three generations. There are exceptions, but usually no more than three generations. The objective reality was the same. The attitude was completely different. I want into that room. That's where the high-status people are. It is not a case of absolute relativism, of our attitude completely conditioning reality, but what we bring to the experience is very important to our attitudes, to our strength, to our ability to engage the weights of the world, the sorrows of the world, the fears of loss, the exhaustion that everyone I know feels at some point. Why am I doing this? Why am I getting out of bed and engaging a world that just doesn't ever seem to be finally fixed and done? Well, because it's important. Because those people out there, whether in our families or our larger families, are our brothers and sisters, and their welfare is our concern. And sometimes they are heavy, and sometimes they are not heavy. And sometimes, whether they are heavy or not, is not objective, but completely subjective. I have here a 30-pound weight. I work out with this 30-pound weight relatively regularly. It's my old friend. Some days, I can lift it a certain number of times. Some days, not as many. I don't know why. Some days I have the strength, some days I have less. It is a very light weight when I start to do a curl. That first curl, this doesn't weigh anything. The second curl, this weighs just a little bit. The third curl, I'm starting to feel it. The fourth curl, I'm trying to ignore. The fifth curl, it's, am I really going to get to 10? The sixth curl is, I'm almost to 10, I'm almost to 10, I'm almost to 10. The seventh curl is, boy, that wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. The eighth curl is, I'm feeling some twitching here. The ninth curl is, I'm not really sure. The tenth curl is, maybe I should put my back and hips into it, maybe not. Maybe I just need a finger's worth of help. And somebody who doesn't have the strength that I have, with only an ounce or two of effort, makes all the difference, the decisive difference in my ability to cope with this part of the weight of my world. My God, how strong and important we are to each other, even when we don't think that we have the strength to carry or help somebody else with their burdens. I might be crushed by that burden. How hard was that?
Not very.
Okay. One finger underneath helped that be accomplished. What can we do with and for each other because our welfare is our concern? The weight of the world is made lighter, not by denying it, but by engaging it. As you lift, you get fatigue, but you also later get strength. And as you get into the habit of bearing the weight of the world, of helping other people bear the weight of the world, it does not mean that you don't ever get fatigued. It means that we strengthen each other by being in relationship with one another to help and to hold and to heal. The road is long. For some, it is very, very difficult. But while we're on our way to there, why not share the pain, the joys, the burdens, and the weight? It'll be good for all of us.